Listen, I was thinking about the difference in the way that my wife and her mother, longtime baseball fans, both of them. Jackie's mother is the seventh or the sixth most senior Padres season ticket holder. That is, of all the Padres season ticket holders, there's only five or six more senior than her. And so, you know, they've had a row right behind the backstop the whole time the Padres have been a team. And so so Jackie was raised in that kind of a sports culture, and I married into it, and thank God my kids were athletes, because that was fun, and we got to do a lot of that while they were young. But it was always interesting to me at the way that Jack and I watched games and thought about players, and especially her mother, who's way bigger sports fan than all of us put together. She literally has a room in her house that's called the Tony Gwynn Room. It's kind of like a little museum place or something. It's amazing. But anyways, so here's the way I do it. I like guys with good stats that are super athletes that can get the job done, that are gamers, you know. You remember Ken Caminiti back in the day, or, you know, or even Tony Gwynn, you know, 9-time batting champion. And but Jackie's mom is more like this. Did you hear about Tim Flannery? He's the most wonderful guy. And then she'd tell me something wonderful about his character, how he helps people. And he's, you look at him run out there. He just runs out to every play. He's such a great person. And he just helps the clubhouse and, you know, and all that. And I'm like, yeah, but he's a utility guy. I mean, you know, who cares? So, I realized, but here's the interesting thing is that, so she grows fond of these guys based on what she knows about them and their character. And I grow fond of them based on their kind of, you know, ability or whatever, if they can throw a nasty fastball. And so, and I thought about, there's some combination of that that's just really true when we think about God. I went to Sunday school with Hank today, and they're doing a study together on the book called The Attributes of God. And so they're learning about how wonderful he is and all of these different things that make him wonderful. And it's like when you just study one aspect of him, you just like go, wow, he's wonderful. And it's like the more you know about him, and no matter how you want to look at it, whether you want to know, talk about his character or whether you want to talk about his batting average, it doesn't matter how you look at God. The more you look, the more wonderful he becomes, and then therefore you like him more, right? And it just seems that that's what Paul's getting at with Ephesians. It's this allegedly the distilled gospel. It's like, you know, he wrote Hebrews, this big tome, to the people with a Jewish background, so that they would understand how I'm guessing Paul wrote that, by the way, but how they would understand how God fulfilled the law and all the different shadows that were there. And then he wrote like Romans, with this kind of systematic theology that's really long, stretched out, and he didn't miss any breaking anything down. But Ephesians kind of like this pure distilled version of Christ and his work, and God and his work in Christ. And so this is very typical Bobby type study book. This is the book of Ephesians. You're going to all have one next week. We didn't get the order quick enough. Angel actually thought, why don't we just get everybody one? And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. But it was Thursday when we thought of that, so it was late. But anyway, so you're all going to have this book, and it's simply the text on this side and some lines where you can take notes on this side. Bubba, just turn one bank in the middle on. Let me see if that's too bright. One bank in the middle. Well, that's not bad, is it? Will that freak y'all out if we do it that light? No? It freaks you out in the back? Oh, y'all are good with it. Okay, good. I thought Sally was going like, really, do not turn the lights on. And so, and the reason I'm maybe doing that is so that you can take a couple notes. And here's what I want you to do with me. You can turn that off, Bo. And here's what I want you to do with me. What I want you to do with me is to do this. You can listen to the Book of Ephesians on your little Bible app on your phone in 18 minutes. I listen to it on the way to work and on the way back every day. So I listen to it twice a day. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a deal with me that you'll listen all the way through Ephesians at least once a week. Remember, I just told you you could do it twice a day without even working at it. Okay, so I want you to listen to it once a week. Or, for those of you who are still readers, you could read it. And you can actually read it faster than you can listen to it, because this dude who talks way too slow. I can read it way faster than that. Okay? And so you can read it faster than that. You can probably read it in 15 minutes or something like that. And that's literally between commercials of a bad show. So read the book every week, at least once. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to read it a chapter and then put it down. I literally want you to read it verse 1 all the way through chapter 6. There's only 6 chapters. I just want you to read the whole book in one sitting. And it's a fairly easy sitting, so just do that. And because here's what I want you to do. I want you to see the character of God. And in the first 3 chapters, that's the whole story. The whole story is what God has done. And as a matter of fact, there's only one verb in the entire first 3 chapters that is not about something that God has done, that's about something that you do. So everything that is in there is indicative verbs. It's something that God has already done, and we're not weighing in on it at all. There's nothing for us to do in the first 3 chapters except look at how awesome his character is and how great his batting average is. And then in the last 3 chapters, it says, Then therefore, because all that is true, this is what happens to you because of that. This is how you live that out. And then we get into all the practical stuff, husband, wife stuff, and kid stuff, and boss stuff, and like fighting sin off and stuff, and putting on the whole armor of God, and all that kind of stuff. But all that stuff functions out of the fact that God has already made you a fan of him. And you already know about him and what he's going to do. And so this week, because you don't have your books, I'm only going to do an overview. I'm going to read you the first 14 verses. We'll go over them next week. That'll be our text next week. I'm just going to read them this week, and I only have one emphasis that I want to make this week. Let's read those verses together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. So if you don't think that you're experiencing every spiritual blessing that is in the heavenlies, well, we're fixing to learn about that, because God just said that he literally has blessed you with every single one of them. Think about that. And I just slowed down. I'm just reading this. That's already a big deal. All right. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, so he chose us, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself. So he loved us so much, he wanted us to be adopted into his family as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That's a big mouthful. That's kind of what I'm going to hit on tonight, is that big mouthful. And it says it again in verse 5, verse 7, verse 9, verse 11. So in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. That is, he's purchased us. And he forgave us our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all his wisdom and his insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ Jesus as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And in him, in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. So we have an inheritance. Part of it's the blessing, every spiritual blessing that's in heaven. Part of it is that he chose us in him that we'd be holy and blameless. Part of it is that our adoption. Part of it is that he redeemed us through his blood. Part of it is that he's forgiven us all our trespasses. Having predestined us according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also... And he was talking about him then, now he's talking about us, or he's talking about the church there at Ephesus. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who's the guarantee of the inheritance that God gave us until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. All right, so that's a big mouthful, and it's just 14 verses, and it's like mind-blowing the whole thing is. But I wanted to mention these phrases and just talk about this for a little bit as a setup to what we will be doing as we go through this book. And that is this. In verse 5, God says that he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus. And here's what he said he did it according to. And when you've got your books, I'll be telling you, like, circle this word and put a line on it or whatever. But so here's all the according to's. In other words, here's the thing. So if you're going to do something, you're going to do it according to something. Right? So in other words, if you brush your teeth, it's according to the thought that you think it's good to brush your teeth so that you'll have good hygiene. And if you floss your teeth, it's because it's according to your belief that you keep the ones you floss or something like that. What is it, Bubba? Only floss the ones you want to keep, says the dentist. So don't floss any of the ones you don't want to keep. He'll take them. So only floss, and so then I floss them according to something. It's according to what I believe. Do you see that? So God does everything that God does according to something. So what is it that is that everything that God has done, and you've already seen a big mouthful of stuff that God has done, what is everything that God does according to? And so in verse 5 it says that he does it according to the purpose of his will. In verse 7 he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin, according to the riches of his grace. So in verse 5, he says, here's why I do things. I do things because that's what I want to do, or that's what I will do, if you will. Okay? So what do I want to do? Well, I want a bride for my son. I want him to adopt them into his family. I want him to purchase them by his blood. I want them to be purchased by his blood. I want their sins forgiven. That's what God wants for you. I want them to have every spiritual blessing that's in heaven. So he does all that according to his will, and he does it all according to the riches of his grace. In other words, this is what that means, that they don't deserve what I'm fixing to do for them, and they could never obtain it on their own. But because I want to give it to them, I'm going to give it to them. Does that make sense? And so I saw this one thing where you know, they do these little things if you happen to watch sports. You know, it's a playoff, so we've been watching a lot of sports lately, and over at the Cap's house, and And one of the things, they always have these little personal pieces, you know, where they'll show some dude and he shows up at some kid's house and it's a football player and it's his favorite football player and his daddy had just died or something, you know. And it's just touching that the guy did that, you know, took time out of his day to go do that. And I don't want to be cynical and think that was all set up for show. Likely it was. But anyways, but here's the thing is it touches me that he did it. And here's the other piece of it. Let's presume that it wasn't and that it was completely legit and he did it out of his heart. Well, why did he do that? That kid could have never asked that dude to come. He wouldn't have come. You know what I mean? There was nothing in that. He just did it according to the riches of his grace. That was why he did it. He just wanted to do it. He wanted to bless the kid. The kid had just lost his dad. And he knew that he was his fan. Right? And so God does things according to the riches of his grace. And then in verse 9, it says again, in which he lavished upon us in wisdom and insight, and he made known to us the mystery of his will, and his will even is according to his purpose. And that is, God has purposed to do things, and so his will is according to his purpose. And so what happens is whatever God is going to give us, and we just read a bunch of stuff that God gives us, that he gives it to us because he's purposed to do it. And therefore, what he chooses to do, his will, what he wills to do is always according to his purpose. And that's very much elaborated in this next passage, which is in verse 11. Listen to this. In him we've obtained an inheritance. Oh, good. That's the gift, right? But it was predestined according to the purpose of him, listen, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Oh, so here's this other piece that comes in there, and that is that there is a counsel somewhere of God's will. That is that God, and he used the word in the other verse, that it was a plan. Right? In other words, that God has a plan for your life, and in the plan for your life, he has gifts that he's going to give you according to the fact that he wants to, and according to the fact that he has purposed to out of his plan, and so he will do what he will according to the plan that he purposed and before the foundation of the world. And so this is it. So here's the thing, is that God is fixing to lavish, or he's already done it, by the way, but what we're going to see is what God has purposed to lavish out on you and me, his people, according to his plan. And so, and what does that have to do with anything? I mean, this isn't a sermon about Kanye's song, God's Plan, and in case y'all haven't listened to it. But this is a sermon about something like that. That I think that Kanye might have stumbled onto something that all of us kind of somehow know, and I'm not going to disparage him for that. And that is that, and some of us will say it, well, it's all according to the plan. You know, but we say it like, you know, that we say it almost. Usually when people say that, they're dismissing what has happened. In other words, I hate that that happened, but hey, it's all according to the plan. So and then we'll come up with Romans 8, you know, oh, I hope something good comes of it, and all this kind of stuff. But we don't see it in the positive. Wait a minute. Did you know it was the plan of God to give you every spiritual blessing which was in heaven? Did you know it was the plan of God to adopt you? Didn't you know it was the plan of God to send his son to make sure that your sins were forgiven so that you could be adopted and become his children? I mean, these are the plans of God for his children. These are the plans that he has for you. Did you know that you have an inheritance? And do you know what your inheritance is? And some of you will may quickly say everlasting life. Oh, yeah, but it's way more than that. And it's way bigger deal than that. And Peter said that his great and precious promises were given so that we could actually have victorious lives now. And what my deal is that it just occurs to me that God has loaded the bank account by the according to the riches of his grace and according to his plans. And it is somehow that we've missed what he's done or we haven't seen it. It's kind of like me when I go to my mother-in-law's house. And I'm saying that because we're going in a couple weeks. I've got a daughter who just had a baby and another one who's fixing to have a baby. And then the one that's here is going to have a baby. I'm fixing to have three more grandkids. They're all girls. They're all going to be stunning and beautiful. And I can't wait for all that. But anyways, so we're going to go out there. And you know what she's going to be talking about? She's going to be telling me about all the new Padres. And she's going to tell me who their mother is and how great they are and which ones were Christians and which ones were from broken homes. And she's going to tell me all that stuff. And what's going to happen? Well, I'll like the Padres a little bit more by the time I leave. And the reason I'm saying that is because in verse 18, you're going to see something that's breathtaking about what Paul's up to here. Paul says in verse 18 this. He begins praying. And he prays. And I'm going to tell you, this is an intermission prayer, I'm going to call verse 18. And then over in chapter 3 is going to be a conclusion prayer to the whole thing. But let me let you in on that by way of closing. In the intermission prayer, Paul's going to say, "Oh, Lord, if you would just show them all that you've done for them. If you would just enlighten their hearts to everything that you've done for them, it would blow them away." And then he's going to tell us a whole bunch more stuff that God's done for us. And then at the end of chapter 3, he's going to say, "Man, God." And he's going to literally start it, "For this reason, I fall on my knees." I mean, he's sitting here written three chapters about how great God is, and he goes, "Lord," and he drops on his knees at the end of it, and he goes, "Man, if they could only know the height and the depth and the breadth of your love, they would be filled to the fullness with God." And then he says, and it's that great verse that we all know next and have no clue that it's connected to the first three chapters of Ephesians. "To him who has done exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask or think," right? I mean, we all like, "Oh, God can do exceedingly abundantly," and you know, we all do that. But it's at the end of that he showed us what he's already exceedingly abundantly done, and he's telling us it's actually a critique, the verse is, that you have no clue how great your God is and how great his promises are and how great the blessings are that are yours if you would only begin to experience them and live in them, and you don't know how much God loves you, and if you did, then the last three chapters of Ephesians would flow so naturally out of your life that you would have an unbelievably wonderful life. That's what he's getting to, and that's what I want you to experience. And my hope is that we can go slow enough and deep enough to where our eyes are opened and our hearts are filled with awe and overwhelmed with the love of God, so that Paul's prayers literally that are in the text come true in this room. And that as they come true in this room, all the benefits of the second half of the book become ours. And that's what I'm going to be praying for. So don't miss. Read Ephesians at least once this week or listen to it on tape. And, band, come up here and get us out of here. We're going to take our offering, but let's pray together that God touches our heart as we study Ephesians. Lord, we love you, and we come to your word with anticipation, with an anxiousness to find out what you planned for us, to stand in awe that it's come flown out of the riches of your grace, and that you purposed it all along, and that you drew the plans up, and that we're the beneficiaries, and that you're the architect of them all, and we pray as you begin to show us what it is that you have planned for us and open our eyes to it, that it'll revolutionize who we are and that we'll come to love you and come to be able to receive the blessings that you've given to us in Christ. We look forward to that as we study together and as we let your word, the life and the logos of God, change us. In Jesus' name, amen.